बृहस्पति राजाचार्य ॐ नमः भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यास ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेष्व भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवत्युत्तम श्लोके कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः।
वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम फर्स्ट कैंटो श्रीमद् भागवतम चैप्टर 15 Last verse, text number 51.
Yah shaddayaitat bhagavat priyanam Pando sutanam iti samprayanam Shrunotyalam swastyayanam pavitram लब्ध्वा हरौ भक्तिमुपैति सिद्धिम् यः श्रद्धयैतत् भगवत्प्रियाणा पाण्डोः सुतानामिति सम्प्रयाणम् शृणोत्यलं स्वस्त्ययनं पवित्रम् लब्ध्वा हरौ भक्तिमुपैति सिद्धिम् यः श्रद्धयैतत् भगवत्प्रियाणाम् पाण्डोः सुतानामिति सम्प्रयाणम् शृणोत्यलं स्वस्त्ययनं पवित्रम् लब्ध्वा हरौ भक्तिमुपैति सिद्धिम् शृणोत्यलं स्वस्त्ययनं पवित्रम्
सम्प्रयाणम्
Shrinatyaram swastyayanam pavitram. Labdvaharo bhakti mupaiti siddhyam.
Matajis?
Vashraddayaitad bhagavat priyanam.
यह एनीवन हो श्रद्धया विद डिवोशन एतत दिस भगवत प्रियाणाम ऑफ दोज हु आर वेरी डियर टू द पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉड हेड पांडो ऑफ पांडु सुतानाम ऑफ द सन्स इति दस संप्रयाणम डिपार्चर फॉर द अल्टीमेट गोल श्रृणोति हियर्स अलम ओनली सत्ययनम गुड फॉर्चून जय श्री श्री राधा कुंज बिहारी की श्री श्री गौर निताय की पवित्रम परफेक्टली प्योर लब्ध्वा बाय अबटेनिंग हरौ अंटू द लॉर्ड सुप्रीम लॉर्ड भक्तिम डिवोशनल सर्विस उपायति गेन्स सिद्धिम परफेक्शन ट्रांसलेशन परपोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद श्रील प्रभुपाद की द सब्जेक्ट ऑफ द डिपार्चर ऑफ द सन्स ऑफ पांडु फॉर द अल्टीमेट गोल ऑफ लाइफ बैक टू गॉड हेड इज फुल्ली ऑस्पिशियस एंड इज परफेक्टली प्योर Therefore, anyone who hears this narration with devotional faith certainly gains the devotional service of the Lord, the highest perfection of life. Purport, Srimad Bhagavatam is a narration about the personality of Godhead and the devotees of the Lord like the Pandavas. The narration of the personality of Godhead and his devotees is absolute in itself, and thus to hear it with a devotional attitude is to associate with the Lord. And constant companions of the Lord. By the process of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, one can attain the highest perfection of life, namely going back home, back to Godhead without failure. Thus ends the Bhaktivinoda purports of the first canto, 15th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam entitled, The Pandavas Retire Timely. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya चक्षुः उन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपः कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरु श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं नमसजीवम् साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्विदांश्च नमाओं विष्णुपदाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यप्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासति गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे The subject of the departure of the sons of Pandu for the ultimate goal of life back to Godhead is fully auspicious and is perfectly pure. Therefore, anyone who hears this narration with devotional faith certainly gains the devotional service of the Lord, the highest perfection of life. So this is the concluding verse of the chapter. Pandavas retire timely. The sound is a very powerful medium in capturing the attention of anyone. Once Srila Prabhupada was giving a class, suddenly some noise came and everyone was turning in that direction. And Prabhupada said, just see, this is the power of sound. How sound can easily distract us, very easily. So, amongst the two senses, the eyes and the ears are more powerful than the eyes. Of course, eyes and ears both are powerful, but amongst the two, the ears are more powerful. Sound and sight, these are the two senses that capture the attention of any living being very easily. Like you see, just one small piece of paper, if you put, you can block a person's vision just by putting a barrier like this, just one small piece of paper or a plate, then you can't see what is ahead of you. But if you put a barrier like this and if there is a sound produced here, that sound will be still heard. In order for you to not hear the sound, this barrier has to be probably 1 or 2 feet thick. So that is how the sound is a more sharper medium than sight also. So Prabhupada is explaining this about how even material sound is very powerful. What is because spiritual sound? Even material sound has the power to distract one. Once Prabhupada was giving a class, there was one Himavati Mataji. She was pregnant and Prabhupada was telling, now when I am speaking this lecture, the child is hearing in the womb. And he said, not only this child in the womb, even the lizards in the room that you see in the roof, even the mosquitoes that are flying in the room, all of them, everyone is hearing the sound vibration. Sound vibration is absorbed and heard and everyone benefits. There was an animal standing outside and Prabhupada said, see, that animal is standing outside. Now he may not exactly know what I am saying, but he is benefiting from the sound vibration, he said. So the spiritual sound vibration actually, even if it is not understood, if it is heard, it has the potency to enter the ears, enter the heart and purify by an imperceptible effect. It cannot be immediately realized. So Prabhupada was giving the example how, like, you know, the telephone rings, kring kring, it rings. Then immediately pick up. Immediately you are connected to someone very far away. As soon as you lift the phone, that sound attracted your attention, and as soon as you picked up the phone, now you are connected to the person. And Prabhupada said, it's the same way the transcendental sound works. Somebody goes to your Bhagavatam class, you hear, you sit there. So Bhagavatam class is like the kring kring sound. Then you are tuning to it. You hear the message. When you hear the message, what happens? Immediately, you get connected to the person Krishna in the spiritual world. And one can enter into the mysteries of the Lord, His nature, His characteristics, His pastimes, and His relationship with His devotees. And the nature of devotees. One can enter into that. So, the transcendental sound is a spiritual medium. Like the material sound is a material medium. It's a spiritual medium. So, the great Bhagavatas, or pure devotees, they are compared to a, you know, radio station which can, they are compared to the, you've seen in transistor radio, they have the antenna, which can catch a certain band, particular tuning when you do, immediately you hear the sound. Similarly, the Uttama Shlok, which we say, Uttama Shlok is actually the pure spiritual sound vibration that emanates from the lips of a devotee, pure devotee. So those, how are they appearing? That is made possible by the Lord Himself. So it's like they are hearing and they are speaking. I read an article by Satyadas Maharaj. He says how he reads Prabhupada's books. He says that when he reads the translation, he remembers Krishna. Krishna is speaking the Sanskrit verse and the translation. And then when the purport begins, he says that I see that Prabhupada is standing by the side of Krishna. And Krishna is speaking in Sanskrit, we can't understand. You read the English translation, sometimes you don't understand what it means. And Prabhupada standing by the side and explaining what it means. And exactly as Krishna wants him to explain. So he said, this is how I read the purports. When I read it, he said. So the Acharya is one who is very closely connected to the Lord. And he exactly knows the purpose of the Lord. So he is a transmitter of the message of the Lord. He's a Bhagavata also. Person Bhagavat. So both these Bhagavatas, the book Bhagavat and the person Bhagavat, they carry the sublime message, the sound vibration, the transcendental sound vibration, which can bring about a radical transformation in the heart of the living being. So such a pure devotee is like a radio transmitter. He just gets the message from the spiritual world and he hands it over to the living beings. So this is called Uttama Shlok. Uttama Shlok means choice poetry. The words emanating from the lips of a pure devotee. So this kind of sound vibration is very special. Why? Just like here it is said, Shrunotyalam Sastyayanam Pavitram. Shrunoti means the hearing. So Sastyayanam means auspicious. Pavitram means perfectly pure. This kind of sound vibration is very auspicious and pure, and it has a purifying effect also in the heart of anyone who sincerely hears it. Wherever the transcendental message of the Lord is spoken with sincerity and heard with sincerity, there the sound vibration of the Lord is very powerfully and potently present. And Prabhupada says, and that sound vibration is as potent as the Lord Himself. It is not any way less potent. It is as potent as the presence of Krishna Himself there. And it can do miracles. It can bring about a miraculous change of heart of the sincere hearers. Just like Lord Chaitanya tells in the second verse of Shikshashtaka. He says, my dear Lord, you have several holy names. And in each of these holy names, you have invested your transcendental potencies. And each of these names, if anyone recites, one can tap those energies. If one can sincerely chant those names, and then one can also gain a transcendental advantage by chanting those names. Just like if there is a wire lying on the road, if there is no electricity, there is no danger, isn't it? But if there is electricity passing in it, you touch it, you get a shock. Similarly, the transcendental names of Krishna, they are invested with transcendental potency. So somehow or other, if one comes across these names, or even the glorification of the Lord also, that is also invested with transcendental potency. Somehow, some hooks on to it, then one will very soon perceive the effects of such potent hearing. That happened to the boy Narada, small maidservant's son, because he associated with the great Bhagavatas who used to come, who had come for the Chaturmas period, and they were staying in that forest. So he heard the Krishna Katha from them with great sincerity. That's very important. Here also you see the word, Ya Shraddhayaitat Bhagavat Priyanam. The word Shraddhayaitat is used. Shraddhaya means with devotion. That is wanted. That's most necessary. Because in the Srimad Bhagavatam itself, the qualification of the speaker and qualification of the hearer is all mentioned. You will find that in Bhagavatam, both the times when it was spoken, once by Shukadeva Goswami to Parikshit, another time Suta Goswami speaking to Naimisharanya sages. In both the situations you find that the hearers were very enthusiastic. Like Parikshit Maharaj, very enthusiastic. Or you see the Naimisharanya sages headed by Shaunaka Rishi, Shaunakadi Rishis, very enthusiastic. In fact, they are congratulating the speaker. Vayamna vitrupyama uttama shloka vikrame यह शण्वतां रसज्ञानं स्वादु स्वादु पदे पदे अट् एव्री स्टेप् द नालेज् दट् युर् गिविङ्ग् अस् इस् सो रिलिशबल् स्वादु स्वादु पदे पदे अट् एव्री स्टेप् इट् इस् नेक्टेरियन् टु हियर् सो दे आर् सेङ्ग् वयं न वितृप्याम वि विल् नाट् बि साटिस्फैड् बै अ ब्रीफ् इन्फर्मेशन् प्लीस् गो आन् स्पीकिङ्ग् कण्टिन्यूस्लि दे नेवर् गाट् टयर्ड् दे नेवर् लुक्ड् अट् द वाच् Yeah, they never looked at the door. They never felt hungry. They never felt thirsty. They never felt sleepy. They never felt distracted. They never got into a plan-making mode for today or tomorrow. They were completely absorbed in hearing Bhagavad. Vayamna vitrupyam uttama shloka vikrame. Because you are speaking about the prowess of the Lord. It is so... So... In this way they are saying, Yataha Shanvatam, by hearing which, Rasa Jnanam means it is, the Rasa is the transcendental mellow. Rasa Jnanam means it is not ordinary Jnan, it's not a Shushka Jnan, it is Rasa Jnan. Rasa Jnanam means it's full of transcendental humor, transcendental humor flavor, Rasa Jnanam. Yataha Shanvatam, Rasa Jnanam, Swadu Swadu, Pade Pade. Every step it is so nectarian. Please go on speaking. They were very happily hearing. And seeing the enthusiasm of the hearers, the speaker of the Bhagavatam, Suta Goswami, also became very enthusiastic. Same way you hear about Parikshit Maharaj also. Parikshit Maharaj actually was, you know the whole pastime of how the Bhagavatam was spoken. Parikshit Maharaj, because of thirst and hunger in the forest, when he was unattended by the sage in Samikrishi, he put a snake around his neck. Out of that thirst, the whole thing, the curse came on him because of that, from Sringi. But the same Parikshit here is hearing 7 days Bhagavatam, 7 days and 7 nights, not drinking a drop of water. Or he is not angry also, that in between there is no interval, not even 5 minute break. At least for some eating and taking little bit of rest. No, and Bhagavatam is going on 7 days and 7 nights. In fact, he is giving enthusiasm to Shukadeva Goswami. He is telling him, Oh Master, don't think I am tired. I am not, there is a verse in which he says, I am, you know, the thirst and the hunger and all these things is not affecting me at all. The knowledge, the sweetness of Bhagavatam is so relishable that I don't find any need for any break. You just go on and don't cut short anything. Tell everything as elaborately as possible. He is saying like that. So in Bhagavatam itself, there is a beautiful verse which says that the Bhagavatam, what is it like, the message of Bhagavatam? For example, if you are walking in the hot sunny day, scorching heat of the sun, blasting heat of summer. Of course, now it is winter, you don't understand it. But in summer in Pune, we know, sometimes there is 38 degrees or 45 degrees Celsius. It is so terribly hot. And you are walking in the road. Initially when you go, it is not so bad, but then you keep walking. Over a period of time, what happens? Your head starts getting heated up. Some people even fall down in sunstroke. So it is so hot. At the time, imagine if somebody brings a big umbrella, not a small umbrella, huge umbrella, that covers all around and it gives a very perfect shadow. And not only it's umbrella, it also has some nectar showers inside. So you are also saved from the scorching heat of the sun. But also you can keep drinking the nectar falling from inside the umbrella. So the message of Bhagavatam is exactly like that. There's a beautiful verse which says that. So what it means exactly, the scorching heat of the summer is compared to the cycle of birth and death. And all the miseries of this material world, which are constantly troubling us. They don't allow us to be one moment free. They are working 24 hours duty. Adhyatmik, Adhibhautika, Adhidevika, Janma, Mrutu, Jara, Vyadi, they are constantly enveloping us all the time. And we are being pinched, Prabhupada says pinch. We are pinched by the material miseries constantly. But hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam is like that umbrella, it gives a shade. As soon as one starts hearing the message of the Lord, it's like a Kleshagni one can experience. Kleshagni means one is freed from the pangs of the material miseries. And one feels as if transported to the spiritual world completely. So, That is the effect, absolute nature of the transcendental sound vibration. That by hearing it, one can enter into the sound vibration. One can enter into the pastimes. And one feels such relief. And when one hears with great Shraddha, as it is explained here, Shraddha in hearing and Shraddha in delivering the speech, then in any place where there is an offenseless glorification of the Lord, an offenseless hearing with attention and absorption, in such a place the Lord's message or the spiritual sound vibration is very potently present. And the Lord's presence can be very well experienced by the devotees. So, Brahma, at the dawn of creation, he saw only darkness everywhere all around. And he heard the word tapa. When he heard the word tapa, he could not find out the speaker of the sound vibration tapa. Who spoke it? He could not find out. Of course, he searched. He couldn't find out. But there, Prabhupada writes one sentence in that purport, very amazing. He says, Brahma's acceptance of the sound was due to his pure vision of the absolute nature of the Lord. Due to correct vision, he made no distinction between the Lord and Lord's instruction. You see? So here he says, Brahma did not say, "Hey, who is that speaking tapa? Come out. You show me who you are. And then I will follow the instruction." He didn't say that. He heard the sound vibration and he knew the Lord's nature is absolute. Because of which his instruction and the Lord, they are one. Just like in Bible it is said, the word of God is God. It is said. So whatever instruction Lord gave him, he heard it and he immediately followed it. It is important to dwell a few minutes on understanding this absolute nature of the Lord. What is the meaning of the absolute nature? In the Upanishads, it is explained that the Lord is inconceivable, is achintya, is inconceivable. Yet being absolute, the Lord's inconceivable nature can be understood how? Based on his absoluteness. For example, there are many contradictions we explained in the Upanishads. Lord is far away and he is also very nearby. Lord is inside, he is also outside. Like right now we are all inside the temple, isn't it? Can you be outside simultaneously? Either you are inside the hall or outside the hall. How can you be simultaneously inside and outside? Or you are nearby. Vibhu is sitting nearby to me. But how he can be far away? Can he be far away in ITBHU? He can only be in one place. Either of the two only can happen, right? Either he can be nearby or he can be far away. Can both happen simultaneously? But in the case of the Lord, it is possible. How this contradiction can be resolved is explained. So Lord is present as Virat Rupa in the entire creation. But Lord is also sitting in the heart of every living being as a Antaryami, as a super soul in the heart of everyone. He is very far away and he is also very nearby as well. And he is inside and he is also outside. That is, that contradiction is explained by Vasudev in his glorification of Krishna when he appeared in the jail of Kamsa. He says, "My dear Lord, you are, you know, all the universes are coming out of your body. You are so great. And how is it that you are born in the womb of Devaki? And that is no miracle for us because you expand all the universes from your body and you occupy them inside again as Garbhudakshaya Vishnu. And you occupy every atom as Kshirudakshaya Vishnu. The very same atoms which come out of you, you go and occupy them again. Similarly, you have only created all species, all the living beings. And now you occupy the womb of Devaki also." So, Lord is far away, but when a devotee is serving the deities, he can touch the feet of Krishna. He can offer a tulasi mixed with sandalwood pulp. So, he is touching the Lord. Lord is available to him so nearby. He can dress the Lord. He can feed the Lord. He can circumambulate the Lord. He can decorate the Lord with ornaments. So, Lord is making himself available to his devotee simply out of love. Love for his pure devotee. Lord is agreeing, "Okay, although I am very far away, I am very great, now I am making myself available to you. And I become so malleable in the hand of my devotee, that a devotee can pick up the Lord, he can bathe the Lord, he can wipe his body, he can dress him." So Lord is agreeing to be molded by his devotee, simply out of love. He does such things. So, Lord's absolute nature means for example, the deity is made of stone or metal or something. Because of our material identification, we always distinguish between matter and spirit. Because of lack of understanding of the absolute nature of Lord. So Lord being spiritual, he can also manifest through matter. It is possible for him. And then he can spiritualize the matter in which he occupies. Just like this Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam. You call a donkey, what best can he understand? He will consider it as a good food. Oh, this I can eat for 2 days. That's all he can see. You ask a printing press person, you give him a Bhagavatam, he will immediately check the quality of paper or quality of print and the font. All those things he'll be seeing. He cannot think of anything else. For him, it is nothing other than a paper with some print. Quality of paper, that's all he can see. So, the same object is perceived by different people differently, depending on their understanding. Now, if such a book comes in the hand of a devotee, he can gain the maximum benefit, isn't it? By understanding, grasping the message of the Bhagavatam, like that. So, the sound vibration is also absolute, like the Lord is absolute. The Krishna is speaking Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna. But today, if you are opening Bhagavad Gita and reading, we can enter into the pastime of Krishna speaking Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna. We gain the same advantage, not even a bit less. We can directly hear from Krishna. If one has that sincerity, one will be posted in the presence of the Lord while hearing. Actually, I learnt about this for the first time when I went to Mayapur Yatra. Once Indradhumna Swami and Radhanath Swami and Jananivas Prabhu, they were all there. We went to the, Samadhi of Govinda Ghosh, Madhava Ghosh. There was one holy place, house of the Ghosh brothers, great Vaishnavas. So, they're singers, I think, is it? Singers? Yeah, Mukunda Ghosh. So, we had gone to the house, so there was a Samadhi there. So, we went in front of the Samadhi and we were all sitting all around and some devotees were doing some bhajans there. And when Indradhumna Swami Maharaj came there, when he spoke, he said, maybe from your materialistic mind, you may tend to think that what is the use of, coming to a Samadhi and coming and sitting there and offering prayers to somebody who is already dead and gone. That person is gone and only his dead body is kept there. And we don't know whether even the body is there, it may be, eaten by the germs and everything. So what benefit one will get by coming to a Samadhi like that and praying? He said, you may think like that. But that is your mundane vision. Because your mundane vision is like a donkey's vision of Bhagavatam. You cannot see anything beyond that. Donkey can never appreciate Bhagavatam. So for appreciating Bhagavatam, you need certain intelligence. To hear the message and understand it and apply it. In the same way, when you come to a Samadhi, he said, people who have been present in that place before and have performed devotion service, those devotional vibrations are surcharged in that atmosphere very much. And the Vaishnava might have left his body, he must have left the material world and gone to the spiritual world. But even in the spiritual world, they are in the company of Krishna. So, they have the power to offer blessings to anyone in the material world who is offering prayers to them. Even while being in the spiritual world. Because they are connected to the places where they appeared or to the Samadhi where they are preserved, in which they are preserved. Like we go to Prabhupada Samadhi in Mayapur. Or you go to Vrindavan, Prabhupada Samadhi. You go to these places. So the Acharya is very much present in the sound vibration. The divine sound vibration that he emanated, by which so many living entities' hearts were transformed. So that is very much, very potently present there. And to the degree we have the faith and sincerity with which we offer our worship, then one can gain access to the Acharyas and to their sound vibration. And one will gain the transcendental advantage. Was selling. So, by singing the songs in glorification of those Vaishnavas. And that's why he said Vaishnava samadhis, you go in Vrindavan, there are so many samadhis. You can go to the samadhis. As soon as you go to the samadhi of Vishnu Chakrita Thakur or Lokanath Goswami, immediately our mind becomes surcharged with remembrance of their activities. How humble they were, how elevated they were, how renounced they were, how much devotion they had for Krishna. So with that remembrance of those acharyas, one offers a prayer to those acharyas. Then it is not some psychological imagination, or it is not some kind of assumption that we get the blessings. It's a real blessings. Because why? Krishna is absolute. That's the answer. Because Krishna is absolute, between us and the acharya, he is the one who connects us. Such blessings are made possible. And one who doesn't have the faith, so Krishna being absolute will not allow them to get the revelation. Again, because Krishna is absolute, he can know your heart and he can understand. And like, for example, the deity, it is said, the deity is stone for those who don't have faith. And the deity is Krishna for those who have the transcendental faith. So, an architectural engineer comes to a temple and he's looking up and down all around, and he doesn't benefit much by the darshan of the Lord. It's like Duryodhana watching Krishna. It's not much beneficial. On the other hand, a devotee comes in front of the deities, and a devotee can offer prayers. He can treat the deity of Krishna as Sakshat Krishna, understanding the absolute nature of Krishna. So Prabhupada used to ask, if you say God is everywhere, some people say, God is everywhere, what is the need of going to temple? Prabhupada would ask them, if God is everywhere, is he not there in the deity? Is he not there in the temple? He is there in every anu. And even if you consider the deity to be stone, in every anu of the deities, in every anu of the atoms, in every atom of the deity, Lord is present as super soul. Even if you see from your logic and your viewpoint also. So, this kind of absolute nature of the Lord, if it is understood, then one will be able to take shelter more nicely. That is why this kind of transcendental sound vibration has the potency to bring about a miraculous transformation. About that, Prabhupada writes in one of the verses. You know this verse? Shinvatam Swakata Krishna. That verse and the previous one and the subsequent one, they are all very important verses. By regular attendance to the Srimad Bhagavatam class, that is the verse, and also by service to a pure devotee, by that what happens? All that is troublesome to the heart will be cleansed off. It's almost destroyed, almost completely destroyed, it explains. So what is that is troublesome to the heart? So Prabhupada explains in one of those purports, the attachment to wealth and women has been there with the living entity since time immemorial. Man for a woman and woman for man, attraction and attachment to the wealth. This has been there since time immemorial. Many, many billions of lifetimes we have been attached to these things. And that is deeply rooted in our heart. So it appears as if it's an impossibility to take off from these attachments. They are very deep rooted. So they are like a virus. Why? Sometimes you find in a computer a virus enters. Then what happens? Sometimes you find you're working in the computer and the processing takes a long time. You give one command and it goes on and on working for a long time, and you think, why computer is taking so much time? And then if there is a computer expert, he will tell you, Prabhu, it is not doing your job, it is doing another internal job. Internally it is wound up. It is doing something, it goes on and on. Similarly, if this virus of material attachment enters our heart, we will become very slow in doing work. You have seen, sometimes for example, for doing one work, it takes us half an hour, which can be done in 2 minutes. Why? Because our minds are wound up. We are thinking of something, constantly dwelling on some worry. Then we may take a long time to do something. Similarly, sometimes when there is a virus in a computer, the computer hangs, completely stops. Similarly, there are people who become depressed and they don't do anything. When you become depressed and morose, then one cannot do anything tangible, practical, valuable at all. Similarly, if there is a virus, there is a great danger of a whole crash. Similarly, people crash also. People commit suicide, huh? Isn't it? So, this kind of all that is troublesome to the heart that is explained, huh? They are shoka, moha, bhaya. The lamentation, the illusion, and the fear that arises from material contact and material identification. That is the cause of suffering. And it is not yesterday or day before yesterday, it is for millions of lifetimes. We have been materially identifying ourselves and we have been in this material contact. So, this troublesome thing has been going on for a very, very long time. It's not only a virus in a computer, even in our body we can see when the virus enters, we get knocked off. So many days, it causes fever, it causes all those bad symptoms we see when the virus enters our body. We have high fever, we have bitter tongue, and we become practically inactive. We lose all our normal behavior. The soul also becomes covered by this virus of the material attachment and such things. So what happens? The soul also loses its true nature. It doesn't lose its true nature, it becomes covered over. It becomes covered over and starts behaving crazily, as if haunted by a ghost. Very amazing it is. How the living entity becomes covered over and his whole behavior, like for example, originally we are servants. We delight in being servants. But when you are covered by this virus, we like to be masters. We like to lord over others. We like to dominate others. We delight in that. And we bring about a lot of suffering for ourselves and others also by that. So, this is one example. But we can go on giving many, many examples. Like we have a tendency to love Krishna. But when this virus comes, the love gets soared into lust. So, how can this situation be rectified? So, Prabhupada explains, eagerness to hear about God is the first qualification of a devotee eligible for entering the kingdom of God. See, this is from the purport. Prabhupada says, eagerness to hear about God is the first qualification of a devotee eligible for entering the kingdom of God. And how that eagerness comes, that comes by service to two types of services. One is the hearing Bhagavatam and service to a pure devotee. By that this eagerness comes. And when this eagerness comes, then what happens? Then one also gets help from Krishna within the heart. Prabhupada says, most people in this world have no desire to go back to Godhead. They just want to pull on with their life. Just go on and on, enjoying, struggling for enjoying. Even if there is struggle, there is no problem. But they don't want to find out how I can get out of this world. So if we have a desire to get out of this world, that is a great boon, the desire itself. In Shankaracharya, in one of his prayers, he says, three things are very rare in this world. He says, one is the human body. Is very rare, he says, very difficult to get. Second thing, rare thing, he says, is desire to go beyond this samsara bandhan. He says, that is very, very rare. And the third rare thing is the satsanga. Sangha of saintly people. The true sangha. Not just a sangha of any Tom, Dick and Harry. There are so many so-called sadhus nowadays. One may be bewildered by association of foolish people. So we need the association of those who are sincerely approaching the spiritual world. So these three things are very rare. First of all, the human body itself is rare, which we already got. We already have it. And what two more things we have to have? We need the Sangha. We already got the Sangha of Prabhupada through his sound vibration, which is also recorded sound. If you accept this recorded sound of Prabhupada with wholehearted consciousness, then it is as good as associating with the previous acharyas. Now only the third thing we need. What is it? The desire to go back to God. So when there is a desire to go back to God, then there is eagerness to hear. When there is eagerness to hear, then you get Krishna's help from within. Dadami Buddhi Yogam. He gives help. And when Krishna gives help, Prabhupada says, if you take one step towards Krishna, he takes 10 steps towards you. He says. Then by that kind of help when he gives, then we can very swiftly go back to Godhead. So, things have to begin from our side, that we have to gain a desire to go back to God. But how we can gain the desire? Again, by association with devotees who have the desire. Then we will also gain such a desire to go back to God. Prabhupada says, if one is engaged in hearing the glories of the Lord, gradually he will realize his position and he gets sufficient strength to defend himself from the state of disturbances, the different type of material disturbances. One can actually defend himself. So, hearing the message is like equivalent to eating the grains, as said in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Like, you know, we all have practical experience that, you know, when we don't hear the lectures, when you don't read for a certain period of time, we also feel weak. Physically, we may be very stout and strong, but spiritually, we can feel weak. We are not feeling, and you find the Maya's allurements become very powerful. And you feel dragged by Maya. So, that's why hearing is equivalent to eating grains. Eating grains. When you eat grains, you get strength. Ekadashi day, we all have experience, right? Because you don't eat grains, Ekadashi day. And you take only some fruit, then you feel a little weak. You can see that. In the same manner, by hearing the sublime transcendental message, then one's desire to go back to Godhead can awaken. So, these both are connected. Like you hear, then your desire to go back to Godhead awakens. When that desire awakens, then you want to hear more. Then you hear more, so they reinforce each other like that. And then the quality of hearing will also improve. So we were saying some time ago, Shrinoti Alam Swastyayanam Pavitram. The message is very pure, sublime, but we will benefit from it to the degree we understand its absolute nature. And we, two things are said. If you see, the narration is absolute in itself. And the word Shraddhaya means with devotion we have to hear. You know the thief who heard the Srimad Bhagavatam, class with great attention. He was not a very great devotee. He actually, his intentions were also not pure. His motivation for sitting in the Bhagavatam class was not pure also. He was a thief. He was looking for pickpocketing someone. Actually, he came to do pickpocketing. But then in the course of hearing the Bhagavatam, he came to know about the all-opulent Krishna, who lives in Vrindavan, who is wearing the gold and silver jewelry, who has all this opulence. So he went on hearing. So he heard with a great faith. You see, in the early stage of our spiritual life, those who are coming to our ISKCON movement very newly. So they are in one sense very naive. Very naive and very, we can say, ignorant or naive. But there is an advantage they have. What is that? They have that innocence to respect everyone. They treat everyone as a pure devotee. Whomever they see. Like, you know, they offer obeisances to all the four directions. Sometimes they come into the temple hall, this side and this side and this side and that side, all sides. They touch everything and they touch the wall, they touch all the pictures. They offer obeisances to all the devotees in the temple, irrespective of who is senior, who is junior, they don't see. So, they have a lot of respect and their heart is quite simple. That is one reason why sometimes I like to come and participate in this Shayan Darshan or an evening arati. So, sometimes I used to think, you know, we should go and hide in the midst of all such new people, you know. So, you can also treat yourself like one of them. They are so innocent. So, you can get little bit of their bhav also, you know. Otherwise, if you are with all the well-known devotees, you know, then you can't feel that bhavana so much many times. Because we are offensive in attitude. We think, this fellow is like this, that fellow is like that, you know. You become offensive. I know the drawback of this devotee, drawback of that devotee. But you see the new people, they are, they have so much of bhavana, so much of wonderful attitude they have. But of course, it's not that they are pure devotees. It's like, you know, tamoguna and sattoguna. Both people are very calm. Tamoguna people are calm in ignorance. Sattoguna people are calm in wisdom. Similarly, that naivety or that ignorant nature has to be overcome. You come to a stage where we become awakened. And then we see who is a devotee, who is a non-devotee, who is a dveshi, huh? Envious person, who is a blasphemer of Krishna, and all that we, who is innocent, huh? All that we say, and we discriminate also. But then we have to come to a purified stage where even after knowing the so-called deficiencies of the devotees, we ignore them and we learn to gain advantage in their association. So, that thief was hearing Srimad Bhagavatam with great absorption, attention and Shraddha. That is why when he went to Vrindavan, he was saying Vrindavan and he understood that Krishna lives in the Dham of Vrindavan. He lives near the bank of Yamuna. And he remembered his name, Krishna, Govinda, whatever. So he was going, repeating these names again and again. He was chanting the holy names. And when he reached Vrindavan, he found Krishna there, directly, in the banks of Yamuna, he could find. So here, this story also explains the same point, that the absolute nature of sound vibration is such that when it is inoffensively heard, and one develops a transcendental faith, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita also, the condition of Shraddha is put there also. The last verse of the 6th chapter. Yoginam api sarvesham madgate nantaratmana shraddhavan bhajate. Shraddha ke saath jo bhajan karte hain. With Shraddha one who is doing the bhajan. Then we gain the maximum advantage. So, that is the one part. Shraddha shrinoti alam swastyayanam pavitram yashraddhayetat bhagavat priyana. Also, the fruits of hearing the sublime pastimes given in the Bhagavatam is also given in many sections of Bhagavatam. Here he says, what is the fruit of hearing this Pandavas retiring to the forest? Labdva harau bhaktim upaiti siddhim. What perfection you attain? Harau bhakti. You get bhakti for Lord Hari. This is the fruit you get. So generally, the other Puranas give innumerable material benefits for the hearer. One will get putra bhagyam if he hears this particular pastime. Or one will get dhana bhagyam. But sometimes you find even in Bhagavatam also such promises are given for some pastimes. I got a verse from Dhruva Maharaja section. See, this verse says, Dhanyam yashasyam ayushyam punyam swastayanam mahat swargyam dravyam saumanasyam prashasyam agamarshanam. Here it is said at the end of Dhruva's pastime, it is said, those who are aspiring for wealth, they will get dhanyam, they will get wealth. Those who are aspiring for yash or fame, they will get fame. Those who want to live long life, they will get long duration of life, ayushyam. And one will also get many pious credits by hearing this pastime. Punyam, swastyanam mahat. And such people can also, those who want to go to heaven, they will get swargyam. Dravyam, if somebody hears the character of Dhruva Maharaj with great faith and love, then they will also attain Dravaloka, Dravyam, he says. One will attain the Dhruvaloka, Dhruva's planet. If somebody wants to attain, they can attain that planet also, which is a spiritual world within material world. So in this case, he says, Prashasyam, it's glorious. Agamarshanam, it destroys all sins. In this way, at the end of this Dhruva's pastime, many verses are given, which says that if somebody is very over-ambitious, it is said, one should hear Dhruva Maharaj's pastime. In this world, who is not over-ambitious? Isn't it? And so if somebody wants to become a great person, or somebody wants to have a lot of power and influence on other people, what they should do? They should hear Dhruva Maharaj's pastime, he says. So what will happen to us is this. By hearing Dhruva Maharaj's pastime with great attention, when we come to know how much Dhruva Maharaj was, determined to get a kingdom greater than grandfather, we will hear the story with great interest. And then at a certain time, when we understand how Dhruva became attracted to the Lord and surrendered to Lord, and how he considered having a kingdom to be like, broken pieces of glass, then we will also, because we are hearing with great sincerity, then we will lose interest for material things. And one will develop transcendental taste. And one will understand, oh, there is nothing equal to Krishna's devotion. Let me simply become a devotee. So that is the ultimate benefit one will get. So the beauty of Bhagavatam is, even people with materialistic desires can come. Akamo, Sarvakamova, Mokshakama, everyone can come. And they all can become purified, just as Dhruva was purified. So that is one speciality of Bhagavatam, to purify the contaminated heart, the polluted desires or the material desires. The Bhagavatam, Dhunoti Shamalam Krishna, Shalilasyata Asharat. Bhagavatam itself, it is said. It just cleanses the heart. The heart is compared to a lotus in which Lord Vishnu is standing, in the heart of all of us. But we cannot realize it because there is so much contamination covering over. So Bhagavatam removes that contamination to help us come to the realization how the Lord is standing in our heart beautifully, and very silently watching us and witnessing our activities and waiting for us to turn to Him, and surrender to Him and take good advice from Him and give up all nonsense business in this world, and go back to Him. So this kind of benefits are also given in Srimad Bhagavatam, as it is given here. Here it is directly said, Labdva Harau Bhaktim, you get Hari Bhakti, which is ultimate. So Hari Bhakti is like the universal set. All the other benefits are like subsets. Like, you know, somebody may get wealth, or somebody may get yash, somebody may get ayushya, somebody gets punya, somebody gets swargya, and all these things. The ultimate benefit is Harau Bhaktim Upayiti, getting bhakti to the, that is the greatest benefit of study of the Srimad Bhagavatam with sincerity. So when we study Bhagavatam, it should not be studied like a novel. Because generally we read many novels and throw. Sometimes even the novels have a very profound effect. For example, Shakespeare's Hamlet, or you know, you study Charles Dickens or Shakespeare or Henry David Thoreau, Shelley. When you study the writings of some great writers, sometimes they come up with such characters. Of course, in the modern times, you have Harry Potter and all these new arrivals. There are so many. Now, I heard that there is a book even more famous than Harry Potter also now. A new book has come, Shyamananda was selling in Bombay. So many of these books are coming where they have fictitious characters. And they have fictitious imaginative story, just like Alice in the Wonder World, or you know, Cinderella, or Snow White and Red Rose. So these stories are very nice to read. They give a very pleasant feeling when you read them, because they are adventurous. In our school days, we used to plunge ourselves into these books, read Alice in the Wonder World. Very interesting to read. Or you read this Jonathan Swift's, Gulliver's. I can keep my leg. Gulliver's Travels, So, there is a lot of adventure when we read these books. But there is no purification promised in these books. Even when you read, in all these books you find there is politics, there is quarrel, there is adventure and all these things, but there is no purification achieved reading of these things. But when you read Mahabharata or Ramayana or Bhagavatam, even if you don't understand, still you will be purified. Can you imagine? Because that is the difference between a transcendental sound vibration and material sound vibration. That's one main difference. And also, another main difference is that the transcendental sound vibration is absolute, which means it's reality. It's happening. Like every pastime we read, the Lord is doing, it is happening right now somewhere. Right now the Pandavas are retiring somewhere. In some universe, this pastime is happening. Krishna's pastimes are all happening everywhere. So Krishna and the Pandavas are, Krishna and Narada Muni and all of them, they are all transcendental personalities. They are going from one universe to another. The example is given, have you seen the sun? When the sun is setting here in our universe, in the ocean, when you are seeing it goes down, gradually the sky becomes reddish and then it becomes gradually dark, sun goes. But when the sun is disappearing, in the horizon for us, it is also appearing elsewhere. In some part of the world, like America and India, the difference in time is some 9.5-10 hours, isn't it? So here when you get sun setting, somewhere it is rising simultaneously. Similarly, the large pastimes are ending in one universe and is restarting in another place. Like Krishna is playing the pastime of Putana killing here. So Krishna kills Putana here, and then all of them are cutting the Putana into pieces, and they are burning her body, and they are getting the fragrance and everything. And the next pastime starts here. Then Putana pastime happens in another universe. Yeah, it's like a cycle. It keeps on going on and on and on. Different universes. Lord keeps doing these pastimes. So these pastimes are eternal. That's why they are called Nitya Leela. There is Naimittika Leela and Nitya Leela. Nitya Leela is in the spiritual world. Naimittika Leela is when the Lord comes here with his devotees and performs pastimes in the material world. So this kind of leelas are going on always. So they have a permanent effect, eternal effect. So we are not reading something fictitious like we read in these novels. And why these fiction novels have become popular? Because people are so frustrated with the real life in the material world. They are stressed, they are strained, they are tortured, they are frustrated. They are looking for some alternative in life where they can become happy. So these fiction novels put them in a state of delirium. You know, you can make them forget in a state of hallucination. You can take them from a practical real life where they see the Janma, Mrityu, Jara, Vyadhi, everything, to a plane of imaginary existence where they think that, you know, now they identify with their character, you know, and then they go there and they think they are happy. And that's all a temporary thing. It elevates you for some time, it brings you down. There is no purification, there is no change of heart, there is no spiritual advancement or elevation. And surely after death, you are not going to gain any advantage by reading such bogus novels. They are all read and throw materials, refused remnants, Prabhupada calls them. Good for nothing. They call it time pass. We can call it time waste. It's not time pass. It's a waste of time. So much a waste of time. Okay, nothing. And I also wasted a lot of my time before I got into the scriptures. So many novels we have read. So much a waste of time. So even though some of those novels may have some character which may remain in the minds of people for some time, they don't have any spiritual effect. They don't have any beneficial effect. Like somebody may remember, you know, Julius Caesar or Cleopatra. But what is the use of remembering such character? Even if they are big characters, or you read Hamlet, you are remembering some character. No. Because it doesn't have any benefit. Sometimes you may admire them, but such admiration has no benefit at all. Prabhupada explains, he gives a comparison of Yudhishthir Maharaj and Naladamayanti in Bhagavatam. You all know Naladamayanti. Naladamayanti, he was a very great king. Nala, he was a very, very righteous king. He was like Dharma Parayan. In fact, in the following of Dharma, you can compare Nala to Yudhishthir Maharaj. He was so powerful, so famous. How he treated the Brahmanas, how he respected and all that. But only thing is, he was not a great devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. he was a pious man. He was doing some kind of demigod worship, some kind of, he was not a devotee of the Lord. So there is no elaboration of the life of Naradamayanti in Bhagavatam. You don't find. And Prabhupada, on the other hand, Yudhishthira Maharaj, Prabhupada says, Yudhishthira Maharaj is so much glorified in the pages of Bhagavatam. Why? Because he was a devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that's what makes it different. So, like the Kurukshetra battle, we read it with utmost attention, you know, who are all standing on the side of Kauravas. All the name list is given in the first chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Who were all on Pandava side, who were all on Kaurava side, you know, what weapons they used, what were the different kinds of formations they did, what kind of vyuha they used, and all that, what techniques they used, and how the fighting went on and everything. So why is quarrel of interest to a devotee? A devotee should be pure-hearted. He should not have any interest in such things. But our interest is because Krishna is present there. So anything connected to Krishna becomes valuable for a devotee because it becomes absolute. Anything connected to absolute, the tadiya, or the paraphernalia connected to the Lord. So, in this way, the absolute, the narration of Srimad Bhagavatam is absolute in itself, as Prabhupada writes here. The narration of the personality of Godhead and his devotees is absolute in itself. And thus to hear it with a devotional attitude is to associate with the Lord and constant companions of the Lord. In the beginning, we may be hearing Bhagavatam just like hearing some stories. But as one progresses in Krishna consciousness, one's heart becomes transformed. Then just like the example is given of a fly keeps the worm in a hole. And time to time comes and stings. You have seen that? Time to time comes and stings the worm and it goes away. So the worm is constantly thinking, when is the fly going to come next? And when he's thinking like that, he comes and stings again, tuck, and he goes. So in this way, he keeps on thinking about the fly. He knows how the fly looks like. He keeps thinking about them. Gradually, he also develops wings for a period of time. And then he also starts flying. Same thing happens to a devotee. When a devotee hears Bhagavatam, the relationship between Krishna and his devotees, a devotee can visualize in the core of his heart how Krishna must be. The purity, pavitram, like it says, swastyayanam pavitram. Swastyayanam pavitram means Krishna is pure, Krishna is sublime. Like I was telling in the morning today, when Krishna entered the mouth of Agasura, how Agasura's mouth became purified. All the fishy smell stopped completely, isn't it? Or Krishna purified Kubja, Kubja's lusty attitude. So in this way, when a devotee keeps on hearing these pastimes, and remembers the transcendental Lord, then Krishna enters into the heart of the devotee. Bhagavan Vishate Hridi. The word Vishate is used. Shinvata Shraddaya Nityam Grinatascha Svacheshtitam. Kale Na Ati Dirgena Bhagavan Vishate Hridi. It's all the Bhagavatam verse. It says Shinvata. We should hear. How? Shraddaya. With transcendental faith. And when? Can we hear once in a week? No. Nityam. He says. Every day one should hear. Every day also you should hear. You should hear with Shraddha also. And then Grinatascha means grasp. We should grasp the message of Bhagavatam. How? Svacheshtitam. By making an effort from your side. Don't say that, you know, whenever Lord calls me, I will come and hear. No, Lord is already calling you. You come and hear. Make your self-effort, personal effort. And then you grasp the message of Bhagavatam. And then what will happen to you? Kalena. In a very timely way, na ati dirgena. It will not take long time for you. Very quickly, Bhagavan, Vishate Hridi. Lord will enter into your heart, he says. So when Krishna enters the heart of a devotee, then the heart becomes like a festival for the devotee. Actually, the pastimes of Krishna with his devotees has to be revealed in the heart of the devotee by sincere hearing. We can only sincerely hear. We can only associate with devotees sincerely. And then the revelation of Krishna and the nature of devotees, behavior of devotees, character of devotees, characteristics of devotees, these are all things it has to become revealed by Lord's mercy in the heart of the devotee. And how do you know that revelation has happened to your devotee or not? That will be understood based on the fixity of the devotee in devotional service. How firmly a devotee is determined in the execution of devotional service. It's called unflinching determination in executing devotional service. With unflinching and determination and enthusiasm, a devotee goes on. Because he's getting food. When you're getting food from the heart, by hearing Bhagavatam and by, you know, remembering the characters of Bhagavatam and their relationship with the Lord, you're getting that spiritual food. You get that nourishment. Then one gets a lot of delight, one gets a lot of enthusiasm, and one gets the vigor to do seva. And in this way one can go on and on. So we have to see from the lives of great devotees like Prabhupada, how can somebody in such a age can have so much vigor, in the age of 70, to travel all around the world, to speak the glories of Bhagavatam, and the pastimes of Bhagavatam. So that is spiritual strength. Otherwise materially, nobody can imagine doing such a thing. That's a proper saying. To hear it with a devotional attitude is to associate with the Lord and constant companions of the Lord. So great devotees, they feel great intense love for the characters of the Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita. They love Yudhishthira Maharaj, they love Prahalad, they love Dhruva. You know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to say, speak it again! And then they would speak Shiva's Gadadhar Pandit would speak that Dhruva pastime. at Prahlad's pastime. He would say, speak it again. He would keep on hearing many, many times. He would never get tired. He would never say that I have already heard it before. And this fellow is saying the same thing again and again. He would never say, he would hear it again and again. That is spiritual taste. So, especially this pastime of Yudhishthira Maharaj and the Pandavas, what is most touching in this pastime is the detachment. And that detachment from the material world and attachment to the Lord. That is the most touching aspect of this pastime. If the Lord wants me to be a king, I'll be the king of the whole world. And if the Lord wants to be a beggar, I'll be a beggar. And personally, I have no attachment. That is Yudhishthira Maharaj. And also the Pandavas. In the Mahabharata, it is explained, when Yudhishthira Maharaj was heading towards the north, carrying the stick and wearing the garb of a mendicant, when he was going, a dog was following him, and all the brothers were following. So at one time, it is explained that Draupadi also follows, but she falls at one time. She falls to the ground at one time. And Bhima is asking Yudhishthira Maharaj, why Draupadi has fallen away? He says that she had, although she is wife of all five of us, she considered Arjuna as a favorite. That's why she fell off, which is a material desire, he says. And then they are proceeding further ahead. And then he falls off. Sahadev falls off. And he's asking, why Sahadev is, why he fell off? He was very noble. He had all the qualities and everything. So he says that Sahadev was very, one, I think Nakula was very proud of his intelligence, I think, and Sahadev was very proud of his beauty, I think. Horse riding skill, yeah. Similarly, when Arjuna falls off, Father, what he says? He couldn't keep the promise, yeah. He had promised to kill all the Kauravas, and he couldn't do that. And then Bhima also falls off at one time. And then, why he falls off, Bhima? He boasted, he couldn't keep the word and all that. So in this way, when he is going, a time comes when Yudhishthira Maharaj, the plane comes to take him, Yudhishthira Maharaj. Of course, he says that, this dog has taken my shelter, I should take him also with me. And they say, no. He says, no, if you don't allow, then I also don't want to come. Then the dog turns into Dharmaraj. Of course, he blesses him. And then he boards the plane. And they ask him, where do you want to go now? Because even the great, there is no one in this world who will not go to hell. Everyone has to go to hell at least for some time. Because knowingly, unknowingly, we always commit some fault. But those people, so Yudhishthira Maharaj is taken to heaven. He goes to heaven, where he finds even Duryodhana and Karna and all these people are there delighting in the heavenly pleasures. And he gets shocked. How is it? And then Yudhishthira Maharaj is taken to hell to see. And there he hears the roaring sound of all the suffering living entities. There are elephants which are taking people on the trunk and beating them to the ground, and when people's bodies are torn, they are fried in the oil, and all kinds of, everywhere there are huge sounds and everything. And Yudhishthira Maharaj spends for some time, and it's intolerable for him, And it's only a few moments for him. And then they're about to take him to the other side, and then he hears the sounds of his brothers. They are also in hell for a few moments. And then Yudhishthira Maharaj is asking, how is it that these brothers who are all virtuous, they are all here? And then they are saying, no, even the virtuous ones, they unknowingly they might have, whatever they have committed, small sin, even though they may not suffer in the hell, they have to pass through the hell and see the suffering of others, at least that much one has to go through. Of course, even Duryodhana, Karna, they all were in the hell and then they went to heaven after that. Similarly, your brothers also, they are also seeing all these things. But they don't have to suffer, don't worry. This kind of glimpse of the hell which you are getting is only a few moments for you, don't worry. And then they are taken to heaven. They go to the Swarga. In the Sarga, they find Indra is sitting and all the demigods are sitting. And, you know, Yudhishthira also is given an elevated seat to sit. And he's sitting and all the Pandavas are also given seat. They all have come there. Pandavas, Draupadi, everyone has come there. And they are all given elevated seat. And I'm sitting, Yudhishthira asking, so, what are we supposed to do now? And then they have an all the Apsaras are dancing. They are drinking Somaras and everything. And all the Duryodhana and all are delighting there. But Yudhishthira Maharaj is absolutely no interest being in the heaven. They spent only a short time there. After that, they see the Lord also. The Lord also in heaven. And then they ascend to the spiritual world after that. After going to heaven, they go beyond. Because they have no interest in the heaven at all. But Kauravas are stuck up in the heaven. They are enjoying the delights of the heaven. Because for devotees, the heavenly delights are as insignificant as hellish suffering. They don't find any taste in that. That's why they all are ascending to the spiritual world. So Prabhupada says here in the purport also, back to Godhead. The subject of the departure of sons of Pandu for the ultimate goal of life, back to Godhead, is fully auspicious. Why? Although they got a glimpse of the hell and they also spent a few moments in heaven because it was a part of their term they had to spend. Just like a part of hell and part of heaven, they had to spend for a few moments. But they were not attached to them, attached to being in the heaven. They went back to Godhead. Because they came to this world only to assist Krishna in his Leela. These are all very, very great devotees. Earlier when we would hear Mahabharata, we didn't know how great was Yudhishthira Maharaj. How great was Narada. In India, Narada, people treat Narada like a joker. In India, Narada is Kalaka Priya. He creates Kalaka. He creates a quarrel between people. But when we read Prabhupada's Bhagavatam, we understood Narada is not a joker. Narada is an Acharya. He is guru of Vedavyas also. And he is a deliverer of so many great souls. Like Dhruva Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj. He is clearing up the despondency of Vedavyas. He is delivering Haryashvas, Shavalashvas. He is delivering Prachana Parishad. And he is teaching Pandavas. My Lord. It's a very great soul. So that is why the Bhagavatam has to be heard from Bhagavatas like Prabhupada through the Bhaktivedanta purports. So by associating with the purports of Bhagavatam, we are associating with Krishna and his devotees. And at one stage of purification, we will be practically transported in our consciousness completely into the spiritual realm. And we will become oblivious to the, you know, shoka, moha, bhaya of this material world. Yasyam vai shruyamanayam Krishne paramapuruṣe bhakti utpadyate pumsam shoka moha baya apaha. All this will be finished. Basically what will happen is, even though they may exist, you will not identify yourself with them. Like for example, in my life I never had an interest in cricket, you know, at all. You know, I come from a village, you know. I had no interest in cricket. When I came to town and city, the people would be watching this cricket, you know, on the TV. Sitting all day, you'd wonder, you know, why one fellow is beating and he's running back and forth, you know. Again he's standing, again he's hitting. Again running back and forth. And these people are sitting and watching 6 hours, 8 hours a day. And I ask them, does he not do anything new? He does the same thing again and again. Just he's hitting and running, and hitting and running. How you guys don't get bored? Absolutely no interest. So, fortunately, in my childhood, I only played kabaddi, I never played cricket. So I never developed interest for this. So I didn't identify with cricket. Fortunately, I got a lot of time in college days while the other boys were sitting with cricket match in the TV, you know. Because when you don't identify with something, it may happen, it may not happen, it doesn't affect you, isn't it? Like, you know, in South India, whenever there's a politics, you know, the elections going on, some people would become activated immediately, you know. My Lord, now, you know, who became this, who became MLA, who became MP, they'll be walking back and forth, buying newspaper, watching TV. Night they'll be awake also, you know, because you're identifying with it. If you don't, for some people who have no connection to politics, they will say, what is this, you know, nonsense. It doesn't affect you. So, in the same manner, the shoka, moha, bhaya of this world may exist, but we will not identify with them. It will be like a person awakening from a dream. That is the example given in Bhagavatam, in Priyavrata Maharaja's section. You awaken from a dream has no meaning for you. No, Marutisand. You are in the dream, you are crying and weeping and yelling and shouting, rolling in the bed. But when you wake up from the dream, they have no more existence for you. Similarly, entry into the Lord's pastimes and devotees' pastimes will relieve us of this so-called great material life, which is simply like a dream. It's a grand illusion. It's like a Gandharva Pur illusion. So we can transcend that by hearing these wonderful pastimes. So section after section after section, Bhagavatam is full of such sweet narrations. And let us express our great thanks to Srila Prabhupada in our hearts for giving such wonderful purports, without which even these pastimes would not have made much sense to our lives. Grantha Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki. Thank you very much. Next, day after tomorrow,